This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
At the church, say amen. 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 It is good to have all of you in the house worshiping today. Good to see all of you. And those who are joining online, welcome to the Plantation Worship Experience. So glad to have you and to be with you. So as you know, as a church, we here at Plantation, we have been very intentional and are being very intentional this year about how we do ministry. And so because of that, we have been working and will be working in ministry under the theme Paradigm Shift, Refocusing or Purpose. And to do that, we are focusing on loving God, loving others, and making disciples. And you probably have heard of so that's our mission statement, but you've probably heard of our discipleship process, where we connect with each other, we grow together, we serve, and we go. For the first quarter, we focus in our preaching on connecting. And this quarter, we have been focusing on growing. Last month, we focused on growing on the Word of God, the Word as the center of our growth. And now we turn our attention to us as a family growing together. And so this month, we are focusing on the theme, Unity in Diversity. And so with that in mind today, I want to share with you our scripture for meditation, for reflection, for preaching. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. And it reads like this. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither free nor slave. Slave nor free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. My sermon on this is entitled, We Are One. Please pray with and for the preacher. Three in one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, we thank you for modeling unity among yourselves. We pray that unity will be lived out among us as your people. And may this word today guide us on that path to unity. I pray and now and stand with the assurance that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because you have anointed me to preach the word. And so as I preach this word today, feed your sheep through me, in Jesus' name, amen. Now I know that many of you, when you get up in the morning, you say a prayer. And I say a prayer too. But what if I told you that I have a set prayer that I pray every morning? When I get up, this is a prayer, the one prayer I pray. The first thing, the first words that come out of my mouth is that prayer. And what if that prayer sounds like this? God, I thank you that you made me black, not white, nor brown. God, I thank you that I was born Jamaican, not Cuban, not Haitian, not Puerto Rican, not Honduran, not Mexican. What if my prayer was, God, I thank you that I am educated, qualified, not uneducated, not unqualified? What if my prayer was, thank you, God, I'm a man, not a female? What if my prayer every morning were those words? You would probably have some questions about why I'm praying like that. Someone said, yes, sir. Well, prayers like those weren't unusual for Gentiles, slaves, and women in Paul's time. A matter of fact, Jewish men, often when they rose from bed, they would pray, God, I thank thee, thou hast not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. That was their prayer. The prayer here emphasizes something that we can't miss and we ought to hold on to. Pay attention to. The prayer emphasizes that human beings often, we frequently take pride in our existential distinctions. Now, when I talk about existential distinctions, I am talking about those human differences and distinctions which characterize human existence, such as ethnicity, social status, sex, whether male or female. We know, and somehow we have found ourselves in that place where we have taken pride in our own distinctions. Whether these distinctions were created by God, whether ethnicity and sex, or constructed as political ideology, in terms of social status, we know that people take pride in their distinctions. People take pride in their distinctions for one main reason. These distinctions offer privileges to certain distinctions. Certain people experience privileges because of just who they are, what they look like, what they possess, what they have earned. People experience privileges on those and on these bases. You could probably think about what privilege you have experienced because you are an American, you are Hispanic, you are Haitian, you are some ethnic descent, whether African, European, Asian, or Hispanic. You have somehow benefited from that distinction. And somehow you have benefited from being educated, from being prosperous, from having a good paying job. And others, some have benefited because you are a male or you are a female. Somehow we can't miss the fact that distinctions often provide privileges. Now, Brother Keith, when I went to Yale, I had some okay grades. They were good grades. They were good enough. But when I got there, I realized that it was not just my grades that allowed me to get into that school. I had a friend, this white guy, and he was struggling with classes, and we had a conversation, and I realized that he was finding it difficult to pay his tuition. He had to pay tuition out of pocket. And I was surprised. I was like, how is it that he is expected to pay his tuition out of pocket? On the other hand, I got a full ride. I got a full scholarship. And I realized that I only got the scholarship because I was a male who was black and of Caribbean descent. I experienced a certain privilege because of who I was in that moment, who I am as a person. And he, on the other hand, did not. And so while we take pride in or distinctions which grants us privileges, we ought to note, beloved, that while we might experience, while someone might experience privileges based on their distinctions, someone else is experiencing prejudice. What benefits me puts you at a disadvantage. What puts you at an advantage puts me at a disadvantage. Distinctions, that's how distinctions work. If I have an advantage because of the color of my skin, it means that you have a disadvantage because of the color of your skin. If my education gives me an advantage over you, it means that you are at a disadvantage because of my education. If I'm given a certain kind of esteem or prestige because or power because I am a man, it means that my sister is being looked down on as inferior because she is female. Pride in distinctions create privileges, but they also cause prejudice. They also cause prejudice. And as we come as a people of God, we ought to realize and understand that if allowed, pride in distinctions has the power to divide us. If we come to church and our priority or focus is on our individual distinctions, we are setting ourselves up to be divided. Because pride in distinctions create walls instead of bridges. Paul wanted that to be very, very clear. Very clear. And that's why he brought up an instance in the book of Galatians with some Galatian, some Jewish Christians and some Gentile Christians. You see, the Gentile, the Jewish Christians, particularly the men, were given privileges. Because as men, they bore in their body circumcision as a sign of the covenant with God. Peter is ministering and he's sharing the word and he comes and he eats with some Gentile Christians. He's eating with them and everything is okay. But the moment some other Jewish Christians came from James in Jerusalem, Peter separated himself from the Gentile Christians. And even Barnabas even got thrown off by it. He was disgusted by it. Paul said it in Galatians. And Paul said, when I saw the one Peter in Antioch, I had to give him a piece of my mind. I said to him, Paul, Peter, you are a hypocrite. How is it that you, a Jew, is behaving like a Gentile, yet you want Gentiles to behave like Jews? You were using your privilege as a male Jew to create separation in the church. Hear me, beloved, distinctions, if allowed, have the power to divide us. But thank God, Paul said, there is a reason why distinctions should not divide us. And here's what he says in the book of Galatians. Paul says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. Paul says here that faith and baptism in Christ can do something among us as God's people that pride in distinctions cannot do. Paul says, on the one hand, that through faith we become children of God. Now, those are my words trying to be generic and inclusive. But what Paul, in speaking to the Galatian Christians who were predominantly Gentiles, Paul used a honorary Jewish term to describe those Gentiles who became Christians. Paul says, you are now sons of God. Paul is saying, you are now equal. You are all equal because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Notice, Paul is saying you are equal not because of the color of your skin or because of your qualifications, nor because of your gender, but because of faith in Jesus Christ. Paul is highlighting the fact that the law could not save, but only faith could. And it was for faith that Jesus, obedient to God, died on Calvary's cross. And it's by faith that you and I, when we express our faith in Jesus Christ, we experience the benefits of his faithfulness to God, forgiveness, grace, and salvation. Paul says, we are one in Christ because of our faith in Christ. Then Paul goes a little further. Because circumcision was this sign of the covenant, was this mark, this the sign of demarcation between Jews and Gentile. Paul says, listen, as many of you who were baptized in Christ have put on, clothed yourself in Christ. We know that baptism is a symbolic participation in the death and resurrection of Christ. But Paul says, spiritually, it unites us in Christ to each other. Paul says, baptism creates what is called a spiritual union among us. We are no longer he or she. We are no longer they or them. We are one in Christ Jesus because we were baptized into Jesus. Paul is making that point very, very clear. We are one in Christ. All of us together are one in Christ Jesus. Yes, Paul says, though we have different, diverse ethnicities, whether we come from an African, a European, an Asian, a Hispanic background, we are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is making it very clear that doesn't matter the color of your skin, whether you are black or brown or white, we are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is making it clear, whether you went to high school only or college, whether you have a doctorate, a PhD, a master's, a bachelor's, or only a high school diploma, we are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is making it clear, whether you are an executive or you sweep the streets, we are one in Christ. Am I preaching to the church of God? Paul is making the point, we are one. It doesn't matter, Paul says, where you come from, what you look like. It doesn't matter what's your gender. Paul says it doesn't matter. We are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is making it clear. And so that's the reason we ought to understand, Paul says, that Christian unity cannot be built. You know, this term, unity and diversity, it's a nice and catchy phrase. And I like it too because it has a certain, it's pointing us to something. But even those kind of constructs are not enough to create unity among us. Paul says our unity is rooted in our spiritual union in Christ. That's why Paul wrote, Christ is the head of the church and we are the body. You need me, I need you. We are one. That is why Jesus himself said, he is the vine and we are the branches. We find our value, our identity is shaped by our spiritual union in Christ. Not where we were born, not what we look like, not the color of our skin, not the size of our bank book, not the level of our education. We are one in Christ Jesus. One, Paul says, in Christ Jesus. And Paul is not kidding. Paul wants us to know this plain and straight. And Paul wants us to know that when we acknowledge this fact, that we are one in Christ Jesus, when we acknowledge this fact intellectually, it has to come out in how we live experientially. It has to be shown in how we live. And for that to happen, we have to reshape how we view each other. We no longer are to look at each other based on our ethnic origin or social status or gender. Paul says we are now to look at each other based on our spiritual union in Christ. And here is the implication of that. Paul says, because we are one in Christ, there is no Jew nor Greek. There is no free nor slave. There is no male nor female, for we are one in Christ Jesus. One. Now, what is Paul saying here? Is he saying that the moment I believe in Jesus, the moment I become baptized, I am no longer a male? You are no longer... No, Paul is not saying that these distinctions are erased or no longer exist. Because when you look in the church of Galatia, there were Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. They were free Christians and they were slave Christians. There were male Christians and female Christians. The point Paul is making here is that distinctions should not be the thing that we pride. What we should pride is our union in Christ. Paul is making the point that distinctions have the power to divide us. But when we come in Christ, when we unite in Christ, distinctions lose their power. Oh, help me, Jesus. Distinctions lose their power because the Christians, the believers, were one in Christ Jesus. Paul was working on knowledge of his society when he made this point. Because in ancient society, Gentiles were scorned by Jews because they were uncircumcised. They didn't have the marks in their body of the covenant with God. But Paul says, in Christ, circumcision is canceled because both Jew and Gentile is saved by faith. Can I tell you, beloved, it doesn't matter if you're Jamaican or Haitian or Ethiopian or Mexican. It doesn't matter where you were born or your nationality. All that matters is that we all come to Jesus in faith because we are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is very clear. He's making the point based on his context that in society, a free person had more prestige and privilege than a slave. But Paul says again, oh, help me, Jesus. Paul says, in Christ. Oh, touch somebody and tell them, in Christ, Brother Keith. There's something that happens when we are in Christ. Paul says, in Christ. In Christ. Social hierarchy, which separates slave and free, is negated because slave and free are all God's children. We are all created by a loving God, a God who loves us so much, but we perverted God's creation when social hierarchy was imposed on God's people. Yes, Jewish Christians had no advantage over Gentile Christians because they were one in Christ Jesus. Neither did free Christians have any advantage over slave Christians because they were one in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul says in ancient society, in my society, women were considered less than men because they weren't able to bear circumcision in their bodies. They didn't have the sign of the covenant. But Paul says, listen, in Christ, this distinction caused by circumcision is annulled because both male and female are baptized in Christ. It's no longer circumcision, it is baptism because we are one in Christ Jesus. Paul says there's no advantage to male Christians over female Christians because we are one in Christ Jesus. Yes, beloved, Paul is making it very clear. You don't want to miss his point. We are one. And the same thing applies to us today. I'm looking in here and I'm seeing a beautiful tapestry of skin shades. But hear me, beloved, a black Christian, a brown Christian, a white Christian has no more privilege than the other because we are all one in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. We are all one in Christ Jesus. It's not about being a black church, nor about being a white church. It's about being a loving church. Not about the color of your skin, but how we treat each other. Yes, it's not about being educated or uneducated. It's not what it's about, because we are one in Christ Jesus. It's not about being a rich church nor a poor church. It's about being a caring church, because we need to take care of each other, because we are one in Christ Jesus. I wish I had a voice to tell it more louder. It's not about being a male-led church or a female-led church. It's all about being a ministering church, because we are one in Christ Jesus. It's not about what you look like or what your biology says about you. It's about being one, your spiritual union in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ, hear me, beloved, in Christ, our spirit or our existential distinctions lose their significance because of our spiritual union in Christ. Being united in Christ is more important than focusing on our distinctions. So hear me, beloved. Let us not think that we are better than the other. Let me not think that I am better than you because of where I stand. Let me not think that because I'm the pastor, I'm better than the church member. No, no, no. That's not what it is, because we are one in Christ Jesus. Let us not think less of someone because of the color of your skin or something about them, because we are one in Christ Jesus. Because we are one in Christ Jesus, we are called to value each other. Value each other just for who we are, children of God. Children of God, not just because we are Jamaican or this con or that con. We are Christians. People bought by the blood, people washed in the blood, people resurrected through baptism, people purchased by God. We are one in Christ Jesus. We are one. We are one in Christ Jesus, and so we are called to live out this spiritual union among us. We are called to live out our spiritual union among us in how we live and treat each other. So hear me, beloved, and hear me very clearly. Don't give me a gift because you think I'm able to give you back one. Give it to the person who cannot give to you. Don't invite me to lunch because you think I have the ability to invite you to lunch. Invite someone who can invite you to lunch. We must value each other, because in Christ Jesus, we are one. All these distinctions, they lose their power to divide us, because in Jesus, the blood binds us together. Faith forms us together. We are one in Jesus. So don't tell me this is a white church or this is a black church. Tell me this is a loving church. Don't tell me that this is a rich church or a poor church. Tell me this is a caring church, because we are one in Christ Jesus. Don't tell me about a church that has male pastors versus female pastors, because we are one in Christ Jesus. We are one. And that's the message of the gospel. The Bible says, I'm so happy. You know John 3:16, so I don't have to take out my Bible. But my Bible tells me, somewhere I read, Brother Keith, in the Bible, that some people say what you look like, what your status is, what your gender is, but my Bible tells me whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't care what you look like. I don't care the size of your bank book, the size of your house. I don't care what you, all I care about is us being one in Christ Jesus. One. One songwriter says, I wish I could sing, but I know I'll get there, Brother Keith. I'll get there one day. Yeah. This morning I heard Pastor was singing, and I'm like, whoo, he can sing. Beloved, we are one. We are one in Christ. One songwriter says it this way. I need you. You need me. We are all a part of God's family. We need each other. I need you. You need me. Let us put aside our distinctions and focus on our salvation in Jesus Christ. Because we are one. Christ is the head. We are the body. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. In Christ Jesus, you and I, we are one.
Please stand with us as we sing our closing song, Cornerstone. Please stand with us as we sing our closing song, Cornerstone.
Cornerstone, we
once, when I was in grad school, in the city there were two churches. One predominantly African-American, the other diverse. I went to the one predominantly African-American. Maybe I was naive thinking that's where I would find myself belonging. But you'd be surprised to know that being of the same color skin didn't make me feel as if that was where God wanted me to be because of my experience there. But when I got to this church, where on one Sabbath you could see Asian people coming out with their violins, and next Sabbath you can see the African Americans coming out with the drums, another one you could see Caucasians coming out with the pianos, it was a diverse church, and there was such beauty. But that wasn't it. They were all about Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. And I decided to go to that church. And so I know that there are some people who have left churches because they didn't feel as if they belong because of how they were treated, somehow maybe because of pigmentation or some other thing. But I want to let you know that here at Plantation, we are intentional. We are intentional on being united, being one in Christ Jesus, regardless of this, the color of our skin, or anything else. And so if you're looking for a place to belong, if you're looking for a church where you can come in and experience Jesus, you are in the right place. You are watching the right channel. If you're online, I invite you, go to our website at plantationsda.org. You can go on the tab there, Next Steps. And there you'll see a link there. You can fill in your information for Bible study, baptism, or a pastoral care visit. We'll be happy to connect with you. But if you're in church today and you want to connect to, you want to make this your church, your place of worship, talk with me, talk with Pastor Rose, talk with one of our leaders. We are waiting to welcome you with open arms. But as a church, those of us who are already in the body of Christ, we have to be intentional. We have to commit. We have to say, this will be a body of Christ where we are one and nothing else matters. Is the church committing to that today? Is this church Plantation committing to being the place where everyone and anyone can come and experience salvation? Is that what the church is committing to? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that in you we are one. Nothing else matters. Help us to be there for each other, that we can live out the gospel. We pray in your loving name. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.